Bid you welcome tonight in the Saviour's name to the first night of the missionary weekend. Weren't able to have it last year, but we're able to operate, God willing, this weekend, tonight, and on the Lord's Day. And as we come to this meeting, I'm going to worship the Lord as we sing together a great missionary hymn, 672. There's a call comes ringing, oh, the restless waves, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save, send the light. He's going to lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. And just ask the blessing of God, particularly upon tonight and for the preaching of the word over the weekend. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light.
Let us all unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us all pray. Eternal Father, how we rejoice for that time when the glorious light and liberty of the gospel shone into our hearts and souls. And we were born of thy spirit and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, that thou hast challenged us time and time again in relation to thy work and in relation to the missionary cause. We do thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the assembling of all who are gathered in this evening. And Lord, we know that we're not here by chance or by coincidence. Thou hast divinely decreed that we should be under the sound of thy truth, even this very night. And so, Lord, we pray that thou wilt close us in with thine offer of mercy, that as the word of God is preached this night, that thou wilt speak to our hearts and souls. We do thank thee for those who have heard the call of God, who have been obedient unto the heavenly calling, and who have gone forth to serve thee with not less than their all. We thank thee for our missionaries who are gathered with us this evening and for the works which they represent, and we pray that thou wilt bless them as they share with us this evening what great things the Lord hath done through them. We pray for the ministry of thy word this evening, that as the Reverend Harris comes and breaks unto us the bread of life, focus our mind's eye, we pray, upon the word of God. Grant that thou wilt close out the world and close us in with thyself. We pray that thou wilt challenge us and take us away from this place being holy and fully committed to serve thee with not less than our all. We do pray for all the missionaries associated with our denomination throughout the world, and we ask of thee that thou wilt undertake for them, even this very night, that thou wilt be pleased to bless them as they go forth with the glorious good news of the gospel, that they might see many brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wilt protect them. Be unto them all that they need, we pray. Grant that thou wilt help them to uplift, to magnify, and to exalt the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So, Lord, do something special in this service this evening, we pray. Speak to hearts and souls, and grant that for many, this might be a meeting of a difference, where heaven came down our souls to greet, and where thy glory crowned the mercy seat. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen.
Thank you very much, Phil, for leading us in prayer. What a joy it is at our missionary weekends when we can have a real live missionary. Some of our missionaries are visiting. They're over on deputation at this present time. And we're very glad to have our sister, Miss Joanne Greer, who labours for the Lord in the land of Liberia. And our sister is going to come now and speak to us, give us a report, show some slides. And I trust that your heart will be stirred as you think about Africa and as you think about this particular part. And the whole way through this meeting, that your soul will be stirred and that your vision will be uplifted upon the Great Commission, where the Lord says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Joanne, you're very welcome. We welcome you in the Saviour's precious name. Thank you.
Well, it is very good to be here with you tonight in Balamoney, and I appreciate the invitation to come to the weekend and to this meeting tonight and to bring you a little update on the work in Liberia and tell you about what the Lord has been doing there. And I came home in mid-October, and I've been going around some of the churches in deputation. I know some of you are from other congregations, and I may already have been to your church, but tonight I just want to show a few pictures and update you a little bit on what has been going on. As most of you know, I went out to Liberia in 2012, and I have been mostly working with the children in a place called Painesville, which is a suburb of Monrovia. That's the capital city in Liberia. And the mission board of the North American church, which the mission is under, rents a property there in this place called Painesville. And we have, on that rented property, we have a Christian bookstore, we have a church, a place where the congregation meets, and that is also where I teach the children. And so every Sunday and then every Friday, we meet together Sunday for Sunday school, And usually a group of between 20 to 40 children meet there. And we then also bring them on Fridays after school. They come in for a Bible club. We have a man called Nathan Barco, who you'll see just in the corner of this picture. And he actually started working with the children before I ever went to Liberia. He was already there in that congregation and working with the kids, and has a heart for the children, and has been very faithful and consistent in that work. And so do pray for this man called Nathan. He is working with the children at the moment while I'm gone, and so he would, I'm sure, appreciate your prayers as he labors there with the kids. That we have about 20 to 40 kids on Sundays, and then, as I said, on Fridays. But once a year, we have a vacation Bible school. We didn't have it in 2020, but we were able to have it in 2021 again. And it is during those meetings that we often see how many children just are really around us in the community there. In Liberia, 41% of the population at the moment, the last figures I saw, are under the age of 15. And 60% of the population are under the age of 25. And so it's a very, very young country, a young population, a lot of children, a lot of young people to be reached. Now this year in 2021, this past year, last year, I guess, in 2021, our VBS had to be curtailed still because of the pandemic, but we did have 30 kids. We usually would have a couple hundred if we were able to open it right up and invite as many as wanted to come or as many as we had space for, but this time we had to curtail it. And so we had about 30 children last summer in VBS, and we were thankful they were able to meet with them and work with them. We studied the topic of creation and looked at some of the false teachings of evolutionists as well. And this year in VBS, we were really encouraged by some of the young people from the church who came along to help and to actually teach. Most of them, for the first time, they were able to teach lessons. And so that was encouraging to see some of the young people who've been coming, especially those who've been in Reverend DeCanio's class, Bible class on Sundays, his youth Bible class for many years now, or several years, and they now are at the point where they're able to teach lessons and help out with the children's work more. And so that has been encouraging. Do pray for the young people in the church. We have a good group. Mr. DeCanio would teach in his youth Sunday school class. He would teach maybe 15 to 20 each Sunday, and we have been encouraged by them. We had three young men who were baptized this past summer, and that was really encouraging to see them come to that point and to be able to testify clearly of the Lord's dealing in their heart and the way he had brought them in different ways to the point of salvation and even assurance of salvation. Now, we have, of course, had some disruptions in the church and in the work there because of the COVID pandemic. We went into lockdown. We had to close for a few months back in 2020 in the spring, but we were able to get back then after a couple of months to church services. We started by dividing the congregation into two groups, Mr. DeCanio and some of the men organized this. And so for a few months, or actually quite a number of months, we had to meet. We had two services each Sunday to bring all the people in. Then there was a bit of a lull in the pandemic, in Liberia at least. So everyone was able to come back together. And then a few months later, there was a surge again. And this time the men put a tarp up outside, and we were still able to meet together, but part outside the building. And so at the moment, the congregation's actually meeting on the porch of the bookstore, but that's not actually because of COVID. That's because the church building has been knocked down because of a construction project that's going on there. The landlord is rebuilding. He's extending the building, the buildings that we rent from him. There are several reasons for that. One, our lease was up, and we renewed that with the landlord, and he agreed to do that work at this time. We've been struggling with a leaking roof in the church for several years now, and they try to fix it, and then it starts leaking again. And so this time, the landlord has said he's going to put a cement roof over the building, and so hopefully that will prevent any further leaking. This is a picture of the original church building that we've been meeting in, and the empty land on the left side of that picture. This is a shot of it. And right now, the construction project that's going on, they have built right along there. And so that all that empty space and where the old church building was, that's all been knocked down, and they're building a new building. And in that new building, there's going to be space for a larger church, a room for the church to meet, and also a classroom where we hope to start a Christian school, at least to get started the first year. This is one of the inside rooms, one of those two large rooms there. And then because of moving everything around, the bookstore will also be rebuilt as well. And so do pray as this building project is going on, pray that the Lord will give grace, not just to the builders themselves, but of course also to the congregation, the children. Everything's been disrupted, and as you saw, they have to meet outside at the moment, as well as our own construction project on the building. There's also a road construction project that's going on right beside us. The buildings to the left in this picture are the bookstore, the front of our property, and you can see how close that road is, and so they are extending this road. It will be great when it's finished, but at the moment it's a bit of a headache. Of course, I'm not there experiencing it, but they're going to widen that road to a four-lane road and then build a frontage road down in that ditch where you see there right in front of those buildings. And so as the congregation meets, they are on that porch of the bookstore with a tarp up over them to shield them from the sun. Thankfully, it's not rainy season right now. So just pray as all of this continues that the building work will go smoothly and that the roof will be on before the rains return in March. Another part of the construction is to build a classroom, and that is part of the project that our North American Mission Board launched back in February of 2021, and that was to start to launch a pilot project for a Christian school. And so that was officially launched back almost a year ago now, and we have been preparing for that. We're hoping to start this September in the will of the Lord, and if everything comes together. And so do pray for that project. There, as you can imagine, there's a lot to do there. We're hoping just to start with one class, a preschool class, three-year-old children, and build from there, and add a class perhaps per year if the Lord brings everything and all the teachers and everything that we need for that. And so just do pray that the Lord will provide and will give me wisdom, as I really will be one of the main people in this, I suppose, and probably will end up being the principal of the school if the Lord does not bring someone better and more qualified. But at the moment, it's looking that we will try to hire some Liberian teachers and pray the Lord gives us grace for all of that. We are looking, of course, we have been looking for materials and bringing things over. Some things we can buy or build in the country. These are some pounding benches. We're starting with three-year-olds, remember? And so we need lots of things to keep them occupied and teach them skills, and so some things we can get or make in the country, but then a lot has to be brought in, and we've already had a couple of shipments of things, books, teaching materials, and so on, and most of the curriculum is there now. But if I could ask you to pray for a couple of orders that we had placed, the materials, books, and things are in New Jersey, in the United States. They have reached that far, but they're supposed to be put on a container ship, and at the moment, because of the pandemic, what we are hearing is that there are no empty containers, or there is a shortage of empty containers around the world. Apparently, there are a lot of containers stuck in ports around the world, and so our shipper is telling us that he is having a great deal of trouble finding empty containers so that he can bring our things over to Liberia. And so just pray that the Lord would make a way, if it is his will, that the shipper would be able to get those things onto a container soon, and that they would get out to Liberia by September. Remember the other branches of the mission, then the bookstore, Free Presbyterian Christian Bookstore. Remember the two young men who work there, two young men from the church, and Reverend DeCani, as he oversees that. And then, of course, remember the radio station, which continues to be a great encouragement and a great means of reaching people. And many people have come in, many people have visited the church, and some have continued to come and started attending regularly through the ministry of the station. Pray for Mr. DeCanio as he runs the station. He does not have to be in there 24 hours a day, even though we run 24 hours a day. He usually spends, probably several hours a day in the station. And so pray for him. That is a continuous thing. He can't take a day off from the radio station. And just pray the Lord will give him continued strength. Pray that even as some of our church people, many of them are very interested and active in spreading the word of the radio station. And you see a couple of them here on with the t-shirts, walking around every day, advertising the station as they do go about their daily business, 92.5, letting people know about that. Even as I go around my business in Monrovia and the area, I often have people come up to me and tell me that they're listening to the station. They would maybe see the radio station decal on the side of the car, and they'll come up and say how they're blessed by it, I came out of the hospital one day. I volunteer sometimes in a hospital nearby, and I came out of the hospital and saw this note stuck on the car, and it says, I'll just read it in case you can't read that writing. Dear sir, that would be Mr. DiCanio, not me, because they know his voice from the radio. Dear sir, I listen to your station day and night. It's very informative and helps me to grow spiritually. God bless you folks and your radio, making eternal road clear. And then the lady's name, and at the top, keep safe. This was during COVID. And so that's just an example, a little note that was left one day. We might never meet that woman, but she says she's listening and being blessed by the programs and by the messages that she hears on there. And so do continue to pray for us and for the work in Liberia. I do thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your encouragement, your support. And I ask you to continue to pray that the Lord will work on in Liberia, and that he will continue to save souls, that he will edify those who are saved, and that he will glorify his name in all that is done there. Thank you.
Joanne, really appreciate you coming tonight and just listening to the various aspects of the work there in Liberia. We have been challenged, and we trust that the Lord will bless and undertake for her and the remainder of her deputation here in Northern Ireland, and provide all the needs. There's a great challenge there before you as well. We trust the Lord will bring it together. Now, I'm going down here to introduce the next part of our program. The next part of the program should be what you see up here now. Folks, we want to welcome you to Hebron tonight. We were talking about real live missionaries being here, and we're very conscious that we have real live missionaries elsewhere that are able, because of technology, to link up with us in Hebron tonight. So you will recognize the principal, Miss McAfee. Good to have you, Noreen. Noreen's a member of our own congregation. And then these three stalwarts of the faith, they made their way to Uganda on Wednesday. They arrived yesterday, made their way down to Emmanuel last evening, and they hit the road running. We saw pictures today of them out at the open air. The Reverend McMillan, Mr. Alistair Hamilton, and his son Glenn, and with Ballymena people here tonight, you'll recognize these folks. Want to welcome you in the Saviour's name. And instead of me having an interview with them, they're going to take charge for the next little while, and they're going to talk to you. So just pray that the technology comes together. If it doesn't, that's why Samuel's standing here, just to jump in at the right moment. The Lord bless you, brethren and sister, as you talk to us tonight, and bless your ministry in Uganda.
Thank you, Mr. Park, and good evening from Emmanuel in central Uganda. Thank you again for all your prayers and support, and for the opportunity to bring you up to date with what is happening here at this church and the Christian school on the mission compound. We had a very good time in December with our children's Bible clubs here at Emmanuel and out in Kasibute. And then the Lord has mercifully and graciously brought us into this new year, and we praise him for that. Uganda, like many places, has got the Omicron variant of the COVID-19 virus, and that has seen a surge in cases of late, and they confirmed today that we are in a third wave. But in spite of that, the government has announced that we will go ahead with a full reopening of the economy, provided that people adhere to the various protocols that are in place to try and mitigate the spread of COVID-19. So we're happy to report that that includes the full reopening of schools, and we're very excited about that. That means we've had a very busy start to the year. We've been preparing, making sure that the physical facilities are all ready, making sure that the supplies are in, and we also had to recruit some new teachers for the primary department. This past week, we've been interviewing new students who want to join us at Emmanuel. And we had over 140 who came this past week wanting to join us. Now, unfortunately, we won't be able to take all of them, but we thank God for the interest and for those who do want to come. Today, we've been doing staff training on some of the latest guidelines and things that have to be implemented in view of COVID and also in view of catching up on what has been missed with children being out of school for a very long time. Some of the children coming back on Monday have not been in school since March 2020. So that's over 21 months. Now we have been trying to keep them busy with learning materials at home. We've been sending them out, collecting them, marking them, but of course it's not the same as having the children on site. So we're very excited. We're really looking forward to seeing them come back. They're really excited about coming back, but we know that it's almost like starting all over again. Starting from zero, we'll have to get them organised, we'll have to get them settled, we'll have to get them uniforms, we'll have to make sure they have the supplies, and all of those things will have to be attended to. And then we have to get them settled back into the school routine. But pray that the Lord would help us as we endeavour to do all of that. Our boarders, God willing, will report tomorrow. So that's also a busy day. And then on Sunday, we're having a special Thanksgiving service before the day scholars join us on Monday. On Monday, we also have some of the students who have completed with us here at Emmanuel going out to various institutions. We have five going out to do vocational courses, two are going mechanicking, and some going to tailoring. We have three going down to the nursing college in Yantonde. We have one boy going for his A-levels. He has to go back to Capo. So it's a very busy time for us, and we need the Lord's help, and we need the Lord's presence. But it's great to be busy in the Lord's work, and it is a great opportunity. We're especially looking forward to being able to teach the children the Word of God face to face. And we pray that God would bless his word and that it would not return void. I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. It tells us that a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And in some respects, for a while, because of COVID, the door has been closed. But we thank God that once again, the door has been opened. And we just pray that he would do great things for us this year at Emmanuel and great things amongst our boys and girls. It's a special pleasure to have visitors with us. We haven't had visitors for a long time because of restrictions on travel, but it's a special pleasure to have visitors with us at this time, just as we are reopening the school. And I'm going to hand over now to the Reverend David McMillan, and he has a few words to share with us.
Hello, everyone. It's very nice to be with you, to be able to join you for the special missionary meeting in Ballinmoney this evening. The Reverend Park mentioned our journey on Wednesday and Thursday. We had a very good journey out to Uganda. International travel is now very different, especially with all the testing, the wearing of masks and so on. But we did have a very good journey. The journey went well, a very smooth journey. We're very glad to be here to encourage and to fellowship with Miss McAfee and to support her just at this time. Just to make you aware that from this coming Lord's Day, we're going to have preachers here in person at the church services in Emmanuel again. That will be for the first time since March of 2020, when the pandemic commenced. Mr. Glenn Hamilton, who's a third-year theological student at the Whitfield College of the Bible, will be taking the services here at Emmanuel for the next 4 weeks. You'll be hearing from Glenn shortly, but he's already been very well received by the folk here at Emmanuel, both at the church and the school. After Glenn goes home, Mr. Dave McCauley from the congregation there in Ballinmoney, the Hebron congregation, Dave will be travelling out to cover the 4 weeks in February. And then following on from that, the Reverend Ray Kerskadden, the minister of the Corrigarry congregation, will be coming for 3 weeks in the month of March. We do want to thank the college for giving Glenn and Dave both leave at this time, especially when classes are recommencing. We want to thank the college for giving them leave to come out and visit the mission field at this time. Do pray for these brethren. We ask you to pray especially that circumstances will allow us to continue to send out speakers for the weeks and months that lie ahead. We'd like that to continue on regularly again without any breaks. And a very important matter just to pray about is that the Lord would send a man to the pulpit here in Emmanuel just to lead on the work of the church. It is 2 years since anyone from the mission board was able to come out and visit Uganda. That was back in November of 2019. So what that means is we have a lot to fit in just in the time that we have here. Mr. Hamilton and I will be returning back to Northern Ireland, God willing, at the end of next week. Just to give you quickly an idea of what we have done already, what we will be doing. This morning, we had a tour of the school campus with Miss McAfee that allowed us just to see some of the changes, some of the work that has been done since our last visit. This afternoon, we met with one of the local education officers just to discuss some matters relating to the school here. We also went out with the church outreach team. We're very encouraged with the outreach that's been conducted in the local community. It was a great blessing to be able to be a part of that, to support the outreach team. After the service took place, the team goes round the town, the village where we were, giving out gospel literature in Uganda. Included in that gospel literature was Dr. Alan Kearns's greatly used booklet, A New Beginning. Next week, we have quite a few meetings penciled in. We hope to have a meeting of the Board of Management of the school here at Emmanuel. And we're also planning to meet up with the local chairman of the local council areas in the community here around the Emmanuel campus. There is quite a bit involved in running our missionary operation here in Uganda. Mr. Alistair Hamilton, our mission board treasurer, he's going to tell you just something about that and what we'll be doing in that regard also while we're here on this trip.
Well, thank you, Reverend McMillan. Again, it's a pleasure to join you tonight in Ballymoney, my first time to do it remotely. And I'm delighted, like Mr. McMillan, that we had a very uneventful journey to Uganda on this occasion. It's great to be here back again after 2.5 years for me. Mr. McMillan has already said there's a lot of work involved in the running of the operation out here. For those who perhaps don't know, we have a fully government-registered, non-governmental organization, an NGO, here in Uganda. And it takes, like all of these countries, a lot of paperwork to keep those things in order. And tomorrow at 12 o'clock UK time, we will have our annual general meeting of the NGO and the company. We'll be joined by the two men who are, I think, still in the pulpit there, Mr. Park and Mr. Harris. We'll be joined by the other missionary from here, Mr. Foster, and then Mr. Ronald, who is one of the local teachers here in the school, to have our annual general meeting. And that will be to reappoint the directors to the company and then mainly to review our financial report. And as I mentioned the financial report, I want to publicly tonight thank the people involved in our churches all across Northern Ireland and even further afield, who have given so generously to the work here in Uganda over the last year. As we review the financial report, it is both humbling and encouraging to see how the Lord, through you, has brought in the finances this year to not only keep the school going, but to allow us to continue to expand and develop the work here. So it's a very encouraging report tomorrow that we will conduct. And I especially want to thank those people who have sponsored children, either those who have re-signed their sponsorship or those who have signed up to sponsor for a new term. As you see, 400 children running about here again. We hope to see that on Monday. But we know at home that those children are on the hearts of our people who have given so generously to contribute towards their school fees and their running costs by way of books, materials, and other things. It is a tremendous blessing to know that that money is coming in month by month. We will also review the work plan for the year ahead. Again, it's important that we do that to see what needs to be done, and we will bring a report back to the mission board in terms of the things that need to be done in the next year, and that will also be reported to the NGO board. And then finally, we hope to meet with our legal representative. Again, we have a very good legal representative here in Kampala. He's looked after us in terms of all of the things that we have done here, and we will meet with him, God willing, before we leave back to Northern Ireland again. So thank you once again for your interest and your financial support. And in closing, I pass across to, for the first time for me, on a mission trip, to be able to introduce my son, Glenn Hamilton. As Mr. McMillan has said, he's a third-year student with an interest in missionary work. And I'm delighted now, Glenn, to ask you to say a few words.
Thank you. I understand we had a 10-minute slot. I'm guessing that has come and gone by this point, but I'll be as quick as I can. And the others, unlike the others here, this is my first time in Uganda or even in East Africa in any shape or form. So I have an opportunity to share with all of you some of my first experiences of Uganda, maybe to give you a bit of a picture of what it's like out here. And I wrote down a few thoughts, and one of the things that I wrote down made me look very naive, because we arrived last night and I got up this morning and it was overcast, and I thought, Uganda's not really that hot. It's it must be quite mild here and I'm going to be just fine. Just after lunchtime, I realised just how naive I really was, because it really did get hot. And I had to put sun cream on the top of my head for the first time in my life. So there's another new experience. As well as that, a lot of distinct, pleasant smells, I should say, just unique, really vivid, and something that really makes me remember that I'm not at home, sounds and smells. But also the compound setting. It is lovely where we are, surrounded by countryside, very nice and remote. I also wrote down it's nice and quiet, but that might change come Monday once all the children are back. I mean, I could probably cross quiet off the list the start of next week. But I'm really excited to be here. Although it's my first time here, this is the third trip that has been planned, or at least the early stages of planning for me to be here in Uganda. And due to COVID, those have not been able to go ahead. So we're really delighted and excited that, at least I am anyway, to be here and to have an opportunity to get some experience on the field. And as Reverend McMillan has said, that will include taking the next four Sunday services. And along with that, other meetings, there's midweek prayer meetings, there's Sunday schools, youth fellowship meetings, school assemblies. So I have no shortage of opportunities to get stuck in. And then as well, the open air, which we had the first of those today, I'll be able to preach at those as well. So plenty of opportunities for me to get involved in the work and get as much experience as possible. And lest there be any of my college lecturers in the congregation tonight, although it's at the end of the list, it isn't the least important of these. I will also be attending my college classes on Skype Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I will see you on Tuesday and Thursday if any of you are there. On Skype faithfully for a college class. And just to finish, I'm going to reiterate some of the things that have been mentioned for prayer. Noreen has mentioned the return of the school, and we would ask you to pray for that on Monday, although it's exciting for all of us. It doesn't happen easily, or there's certainly that it will be a smooth return to school life. And generally for safety while we're here. I had my experience of driving on Ugandan roads, or I wasn't driving, I was a passenger, but it reminds you to pray for safety, and I would ask you to pray for safety too. I'm serious that there are dangers on the roads, and then the health risks as well, not just COVID, but other stuff as well. Ask you to pray that we'll be protected from that. And then for the meetings that I'll be taking, just pray that the Lord will help me as I take those meetings and try to keep up with the pattern of preaching every few days at all the different meetings. And not only that I'll help preaching, but that he will move in those meetings. That's what we want to see. That's what I would love to be the case, to see people saved, to see people even stirred and called into service from the Ugandan congregation here. So please pray to that end as well. And finally, I guess my kids are in bed by now. They should be, but please pray for my family back at home for the next 4 weeks. I know it's not going to be easy on them, as well as it's not for me to be separate from them. So please pray for them, and not just for my family, but the others here too. I'm being selfish in that regard. But remember them, please, in prayer. And I'll just finish by thanking you all who have been praying, because I know I've been getting lots of text messages this week, the others too, knowing that the people at home are praying for us. And please keep praying. And so thank you, Reverend Park, for the opportunity. And I'll hand back to you now to let us finish. Thank you.
Well, we thank Noreen. Noreen's been over 20 years in Africa, 17 in Kenya and 4 in Uganda. And for the three gentlemen from Ulster, we thank them also for linking up with us tonight. And I know, Glenn, that you'll really enjoy your visit, as everybody does when they go to Uganda. You'll be kept busy. You'll see lots of things. You'll be challenged greatly. And we trust that this visit will be owned of God, and you'll have a blessed time as you serve the Lord there. Now, we're going to listen to our Hebron choir. We haven't had our choir sing for about 2 years, except on two occasions. And one was at Christmas time, and the other one was just before that, at the 25th anniversary of me being here. But we have them here on video, and we're going to listen to them sing just now. Thank you. That challenge to us, and one day we're going to stand before the Lord, we're going to give an account, and maybe live in the light of eternity with eternity's values in view. Very glad to have another live missionary tonight, our sister Joy, and thank you for coming to Ballymoney to give your missionary report, and we welcome you likewise in the Saviour's great name. Thank you.
It is lovely to be here with you and to be able to share little of what the Lord has been doing in the land of Nepal these past few years. Matthew chapter 9 and the verse 36, 37 and 38 says, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field." I want to thank the Reverend Park and the session of Ballymoney for the opportunity to come to give this report. I was able to come home just before Christmas, and I do thank all who prayed and remembered me in prayer for that. It was lovely to be able to get home and to be able to spend it with my family. But I do bring greetings from the Reverend Thapa and the ministers and the congregations of Nepal Free Presbyterian Church. And they wish to thank you all most sincerely for all your prayerful and financial support for the Nepalese Christians. We particularly wish to thank the Missionary Council for raising the money for the purchase of 2 vehicles. Originally it was to be 1 for the Reverend Thapa, but the people here in Ulster were just so kind and so generous. There was enough money for me to be able to get a little car as well. And so that for me has been a great blessing. But for the Reverend Thapa, I know he was very much touched by the support that came in, and he was able to get a Toyota pickup, which allows him to be able to go into the villages, and especially with the whole COVID situation and the mission board then supplying finances for us to have that, the aid brought out to the people as well, and the Reverend Thapa was able then to go in his vehicle and to bring it out personally to them, and that was a great encouragement for them to be able to go and to see the people, encourage the people, but just to be able to be out amongst the people was the encouragement for them. But we do thank you for it. We thank each one who supported those appeals, whether it was for the Mission Board or the Missionary Council. We do sincerely want to thank you for it. I know on my side, for me it is great to know I can come out of shopping and I maybe have a backpack on my back with my tins in it and the bags in my hands, and I know I don't have to jump on a bus or have the dreaded fact of having to walk home because there is no bus and there's no taxis in the taxi stand. And when that happened, you had half an hour to go, and it's a long walk when you're trying to carry all your tins on your back. So I do appreciate those who did support the fund for the new cars in Nepal. I want you also to thank you for all those who have been praying for us, especially at this time. The COVID situation in Nepal was difficult. The churches were closed for about 8-9 months at the beginning, and then we opened just around Christmas time last year till March again, and then we were closed just there till the beginning of November. And we do thank the Lord for his hand upon us and for being able to sustain us even in these difficult days. I would like you to remember to pray for Sarita. She's the young lady who has left the church in Kathmandu to study to be a doctor in Bangladesh. She's now in her last year, and she tells me it's what they call like a long year. She has her whole full year of classes again, but then she has to add on another around 6 months where she will be doing more practical studies. But continue to pray for Sarita. The Lord really has blessed her. She has always came in the top of her class in her exams, and she's a real blessing to each one of us when we see the desire that she has, even with the disruption to her studies. She's had to come home and then go back again to Bangladesh to be able to continue her studies. But continue to remember her, that the Lord will open the door for what her future will hold. This last year is a lot of exams, but then what is the next step and where will she go from here? So I would ask you to pray that the Lord will continue to touch her, to give her that desire, to continue to have the desire to reach into the village areas. With my own car, I'm able now to travel a little bit further out of the town and out of the city. And, you know, you get out even just a little bit out of Kathmandu, you travel about an hour and you realise the villages don't have any medical assistance. You know, everybody has to come down to the bigger cities, and yet the majority of the people live up in the mountain areas. So do pray that the Lord will lead and help Sarita as she looks at her future plans and how best to be able to use the skills that God has given to her. We also thank the Lord that even though with the COVID, the situation was difficult, the churches were closed, but you know, it didn't stop the Spirit of God, and he has been continuing to move in the lives of many people. Just as I come home at Christmas, the Reverend Thapper wrote to tell me that he was in a church, that a house church has just started. Five people got saved, and they are now meeting together in their area. And it has been such a blessing for him to be able to go and to speak with these new Christians. And as I read, I was thinking of it, the harvest truly is plenteous. Our doors may have closed, but the Spirit of God is still working in a mighty way. And we do thank God for what he has done and what he continues to do in the land of Nepal. And I would ask you to pray that the Lord will continue to work in a mighty way in that country, that he will build up those that are Christians, that he will make them strong Christians, and that they will be fearless before the opposition that there is in the land. I would ask you to pray for me. I'm only starting my deputation. Joanne has a little bit more of hers done, but I'm only commencing. So pray for us as we travel about the roads. I'm just so thankful. When Glenn mentioned that the roads were bad in Uganda, I can say they are definitely worse in Nepal. But I'm so thankful for the roads that you have here. And I know my brother's always complaining of the potholes. And I'm saying, but they're really, really small potholes that you have. You need to come to Nepal, and it's half the road has no tarmac. What they tend to do is they'll do a little bit in the middle. And even though it's two lanes of traffic, whoever gets on the bit of the tarmac first gets all of it. And the other ones have to just go round. And it's a little bit of who dares wins. You know, if you're brave enough, you'll keep going and you won't give in to anybody. But do pray for us as we travel around Northern Ireland, that we will know God's hand upon us, that we will know his blessing and his protection. But most importantly, that we will know his presence with us in the meetings, that we will be able to bring clearly the need that there is in the land of Nepal, and that the people will continue not just to support us, but to pray every day, faithfully praying that the Lord will continue to work in a mighty way in that country. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joy, and for bringing that report tonight. It just made it live in our hearts, and we could see ourselves there and imagine those roads and all the rest of it. Trust the Lord will bless you as you begin your deputation in the not-too-distant future. The announcements tonight will be very quick. Want to first of all welcome everyone, those that have come. We have some from Ballymena, thank you for travelling up, and we have a few of our Missionary Council representatives, welcome to you, and some of our own folks of course. And I see online there are several hundred people will be listening in tonight on Sermon Audio, Facebook and YouTube, and we welcome you also. Do remember the Lord's Day, the prayer meeting here is at 8 o'clock, Sabbath schools at 10:30. And it's going to be a missionary emphasis at the Sabbath school. And three of our teachers are going to bring reports to the children about missionary work and places that they have been. And another teacher is going to bring a missionary quiz. The Bible the Bible class 10:30, our brother Phil is dealing with the doctrine of personal devotion, and he comes to our prayer life. There's that wee noise again. The missionary weekend then continues. Worship service 12 noon. We will have a report, a video report from Alejandro Bernabeu, serving the Lord in Spain. And I want to preach on the preaching of the universal gospel. Some words of Christ that I believe are very important and appropriate for the weekend. At the evening service at 7, the Reverend Brown will be here to preach the word. And we will have two video reports, one from Dipankar Nandi, who serves the Lord in India, and then an overview of the work in Asia and four countries that we are serving the Lord in, opportunities that have come our way. Over the weekend, special missionary offerings will be lifted, and if you're at home, you want to give, you can send it in, or you can do it online. There's facilities there, but if not, they're at the door as you leave. If you'd like to give to the missionary work, do so as you leave God's house tonight. Now we're going to sing just a couple of verses of 681. It's a great missionary hymn again, and full of challenge, thinking of the words of our Saviour, "So send I you. So send I you to labour unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone." It's always a joy to welcome to this pulpit the chairman of the Mission Board, Minister Van Along, Reverend Ian Harris, a colleague in the ministry and a past missionary, of course, to Kenya, a man with great experience when it comes to missionary work and a leader in the work. And brother, we welcome you also in the Lord's great name. We're looking forward to the message that you'll bring. We believe it's ordained of God, and we trust that you'll really sit up now and you'll pay attention. This is God's word. God has a message for you. You don't want to miss it. And we pray that it will penetrate your heart, do you good, challenge you. And may it please God even here tonight to call some of our young people into the work and become a minister, a missionary of the cross for the Saviour's sake. Lord bless you.
Now would you turn with me, please, to the New Testament scriptures, to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, for our Bible reading. You're finding your place. I'll thank the Reverend Park for his warm words of welcome. It's always a joy to be with you here in Ballymoney to share in the ministry and in the fellowship of God's people, and especially at this annual missionary weekend. And we pray the Lord will bless you tonight as you've come out. When I got up this morning in Annalong, I couldn't see the mountains. They were covered in snow. And I wondered, up in Ballymoney, do they have much snow? And if you listen to weather forecasts, well, maybe if you listen even to the news nowadays, you wouldn't go far beyond your front door. But, you know, by midday it was all cleared. But I see some of it is left up and around Ballymoney yet. So we thank you for coming and braving all the elements and all of the challenges even of coming out to meetings in these days. We pray the Lord will bless you. It's good to hear all of these missionary reports as well, and it's a great challenge to all of our hearts to think of how in various parts of the world God's people have to struggle with the very basic things that we take for granted. And yet they get on with the work of God, and they get on with the service of God. I remember one time being out in Nepal, and there was a change of government, and there was a whole political disruption in the land, and we were caught up in the middle of it and had to walk through road barriers. There was no taxis to get to the airport. I thought to myself, this is familiar territory for me, really. But Reverend Thapa said a very true word. He said, whatever dog barks, we'll get on with the work. And whatever happens, brethren and sisters, let us focus and just get on with the work of God, the cause of the gospel of Christ that the Lord has mandated us with. This is a passage of scripture that has been in my heart over the past few days, past few weeks, and I felt it would be the message for tonight. Matthew 16 from verse 13 onward, let's hear the word of God. Matthew 16, commencing to read at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amen. We're going to end our reading here at verse 28. And we know that the Lord will bless again the public reading of his own holy word. I want to speak to you tonight on those well-known words, but I think little understood words of verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I was really asking the Lord for confirmation today. was this the message that you really want me to speak on in Ballymoney tonight? And the last verse that was quoted at the week of prayer by our moderator was this verse. And I felt, well, Lord, after all the preparation of the week, we'll take that just as confirmation that that's the word for this evening. The words of the Lord Jesus, I will build my church. Let's unite our hearts in prayer just for a little time as we seek the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the gathering of God's people. And we thank thee for this annual missionary weekend here in Ballymoney. We thank thee for those who had the vision all of those years ago to instigate it. And we thank thee for the grace that you've given others to carry it on. And we thank thee for the great blessing it has been, not only here in this local congregation, but right across our church and our missionary endeavours. And I pray, Lord, as we gather around the Word of God this evening, that thou will bless it to us and speak from its sacred pages to our hearts and lives. We pray for that dew from heaven, the blessed Holy Spirit, to fall upon us. I ask that thou wilt fill both speaker and hearer alike, and may it please thee to open our eyes, our hearts tonight, our lives tonight, to what God would have to say to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think few of the early disciples really were involved in so much controversy as the Apostle Peter was. And so much of his involvement in controversy was due to the fact that he just said what he thought and he opened his mouth at the wrong time. He acted on the impulse of the moment, and oftentimes if you act on the impulse of the moment, you will live to regret that moment afterwards. And it left Peter sometimes in spiritual triumph, but at most of the times it left him in tears and sometimes in defeat. The incident in Matthew 16, I think, is point of fact. The Lord had arrived in the relative quietness of the coastal area of Caesarea and entered into a conversation with his disciples concerning himself. He wanted to know from them what they thought about him. And he inquired, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they started to give him some of the answers. Some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. Some people even say you're Jeremiah. But he held them to it. And they said, but who do you say that I am? And the reply of Peter is probably one of the greatest confessions in summary that you'll read either in sacred or secular history. Verse 16, Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If others thought he was John the Baptist, if others thought he was Jeremiah, if others thought he was Elijah, Peter was under no mistake whatsoever. He was the Messiah. To him he was the Son of the living God. And we know that the Holy Spirit himself had revealed this wonderful truth to the Apostle Peter. How did the Lord reply to him? Because linked to his statement in verse 16, the Lord Jesus said unto him in verse 18, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The emphasis in verse 18 is on the building of the church. And the church and Christ are inseparably linked together. Peter had very accurately, wonderfully described the supernatural nature of the Savior, and now the Savior described the nature of the church of which Peter was a member. I think this is one of the greatest pivotal verses in all of the Gospels. We've often come to this text here and we've looked on it as a controversial text, a text that we can use to engage in controversy with. But Jesus used this text, brethren and sisters, as a missionary charter. He was telling his disciples, he was telling the world, he was telling those who would listen, this is the reason that I came. And what was the reason that Jesus came? He came to build his church. This is one of the greatest mission charter statements that was ever put together, and it's given to us by the head of the church himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply put, the mission of Christ, it was and it still is the church. And you can't get away from that. We need to ask the question again and again, because it's only as we dig into these things that we'll get the answers to them. What is the actual mission today? If we are involved in mission, what are we actually involved in? And the answer is plainly given here by Christ. The mission of Christ is the church. That's beyond no mistake. Our primary focus is the same focus that the Lord Jesus Christ gave us in our text this evening. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 18. Because God's most dearest and his most treasured possession on earth is what? It's his church. And there's a work still to be done that all of us are involved in. Whether you be in Liberia, whether it is in West Africa, East Africa, whether it is in Asia, in Nepal, or whether it is in North Antrim or South Down, or wherever you are or listening in from tonight, there is unfinished business, because the building's not yet complete. As we make a fresh start at the beginning of another year, 2022, in our missionary work, I want to draw some lessons from this text with you this evening, which I believe teaches us about Christ's mission on earth, which is still his church. This is the unfinished business that has been committed into our hands and which we are involved in. It teaches us, firstly, I think, the spiritual nature of the church. The spiritual nature of the church. That's important to emphasize. We will be joining tomorrow for that AGM of our meeting in Uganda of the Free Presbyterian Mission Society Africa Uganda tomorrow morning. And on one of the statements that we put into that statement, which describes us to the governments in the lands that we live in, that we are a non-political organization. Our aim is spiritual in the land. It is a spiritual work that we're involved in. And here we have the spiritual nature of the church. The church that is being built has a good foundation. Verse 18 tells us it is built upon rock. In Judea, a building was judged to have a good foundation if it was built upon rock. You have to get down to the rock in order to build. And I do not believe that the rock that is spoken of here in verse 18 referred to the changeable nature of Peter. I believe it referred to the unchangeable nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know for centuries there has been much controversy about this text, and we don't have to enter into it tonight, because I think it's plain from Scripture. Whatever interpretation you take of the text, whatever the rock is, it's not Peter that Jesus built his church upon. Certainly the teaching of the apostles were the foundation of the church, but Christ was the chief cornerstone. Without him, it all falls apart. We rejoice for the spiritual foundation of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest hymns in the hymn book is "The Church is One Foundation." Samuel Stone's hymn, "The Church is One Foundation," is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're building on him. As we view the building, we're struck by its composition. The church which our text speaks of, it is not built of bricks and mortar. I think it is unfortunate that we called our church, we called our buildings churches, and we've all done it. Well, we made the exception in Carrick when I was there years ago. We called the church building the meeting house. That's what our forefathers called it. You are the church. This is the building. You are the living bricks. You are the living members of the church. This is just the building in which the church meets to do the worship and the work of God week by week. I think it's significant that this is the first mention in all of the Gospels of the word church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. I will build my church. There's only one other mention in the Gospels, and that is Matthew 18 and verse 17. It comes from a very simple verb, which means those who have been called out from the world. What is the church? The church is those who have been called out of the world. As Charles Wesley put it, we sang that a few weeks ago and on along, it just struck me again. In Charles Wesley's hymn, he actually talks about favored sinners. And we are the favored sinners who have been called out by God's grace from the world and into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And all the ones who have been called out are the ones who comprise the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that church is made up of people from different classes, different counties, different countries, different colors, different continents. I love that verse in Revelation 5 and 9. It's a great missionary verse. It always encourages my heart to think about it. Those that surround the throne of God, they sing that song, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not a Western church. It's not an African church. It's not an Asian church. It's not an American church. It is comprised of all who in this world, by God's grace, have been called out and have been put into the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The diversity of membership, it always thrills my heart to think of all the different blocks, the living stones that God puts into the building to put it all together. And I take great encouragement. We're just a small, reformed, evangelical church, the Free Presbyterian Church, but God has favored us so much to be involved in so many different countries and so many different continents in the building of this great work for God. The church has its own unique ministration in this world. Well, what's our business? If we've been called out, what's our business? What have we been called to do? I always like to take our own people back to our own standards and the definitions that we have in our own standards. And there in chapter 25 of our own Westminster Confession of Faith, we read chapter 3 and 4. Let me summarize it briefly to you. Unto this Catholic, that's just universal, visible church, Christ has given the ministry, oracles and ordinances of God for the gathering and the perfecting of the saints in this life to the end of the world, and does by his presence and spirit, according to his promise, make them effectual thereunto. Someone quoted Dr. Carrington the past week, and I thought it was a very wonderful quote. Because, as our late brother put it, the church is the arena of redemption. The church is the arena of redemption. God's saving work goes on in the body of this church. Those favored sinners, those whom he predestinated, those whom he called, those whom he justified, those whom he is sanctifying, those whom he will glorify, they're all within this body, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our whole effort is all under this one great objective. We are part of the mission of Christ in building the church. So let's be clear about the spiritual nature of the church. And regardless of the field of service in which we labor, and whether it's local, whether it's provincial, whether it is global, wherever we are, our objective is still the same, to see souls won to Christ through the preaching of the gospel. Gather together to form local churches in which the gospel is proclaimed. The ordinances are administered, discipline is maintained, and scriptural public worship is held every week. That's our objective as a mission board. That was the mission of Christ. He said, I will do it. I will build my church. Secondly, I think we're taught in this passage about the sacrificial cost of the church. Look at verse 21. From that time forth, after Jesus had told them about his mission, he said, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go on to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Any of you who have been involved in building projects lately will know there's a huge cost involved. The Savior spoke of those in Luke 14:28 who, intending to build a tower, did not sit down first of all and calculate how much it would cost in order to finish it. Because if you don't sit down first of all and count the cost, the likelihood is you're not going to finish the project, the building that you intended to start. So Jesus, in this passage, and this is for the first time, remember what it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. And it's all linked in with this great missionary charter that he'd just given to them. He started to reveal to them the actual cost of calling out, of gathering in, and perfecting the saints that would make up the church. And Jesus had counted the cost. He knew the supreme cost of building the church. And he knew it would be his life and the sacrificial shedding of his blood. This was a price that he voluntarily undertook to pay. He wasn't coerced into doing it. He wasn't forced into doing it. He was a willing and an obedient sacrifice. He was the mediator of the new covenant. He was the representative of his people. And willingly, he undertook to discharge all that was charged against them. Made under the law, he perfectly fulfilled every jot and tittle of it. And in so doing, we're told in our own confession that he endured the most grievous torments in his soul. Likewise, at the crucifixion, he endured the most painful sufferings in his body. He died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead in the same body that he suffered in. And he ascended. That great ascension psalm, Psalm 24, reminds us of that procession of triumph as he entered into glory. And there he ever liveth to intercede for the people of God. There he is overseeing the building of his church here on earth. And there, from whence he's coming back for his church to take it home to glory. Believers are especially denoted in Romans 1 and verse 6 as the called of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is still calling sinners. He's calling sinners in Ballymoney. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you've never been to Jesus for the cleansing power and have had your sins washed in the blood of the Lamb. It would be an awful thing to come to a missionary meeting and to hear about others who are taking the gospel to others who have never heard, and you have sat and you've listened to this and you've never responded to it. Well, he invites you again this evening to come to him. In all of our labors for the Lord, it's encouraging. I always think to note that Christ has paid everything that the building requires. He didn't need any contingency plans. Everything was covered. The debt has all been cleared. The cost was Calvary. The cost was his crucifixion. The same blood that saved your soul and my soul is the blood that was shed for those that are being called from Nepal, from Liberia, from Uganda. There's no difference. All who are involved in church building, I believe, must personally, just like the Savior, be willing to pay the cost. And Jesus applied this. He's building on this theme because missionary work involves discipleship. And we have those great verses there in verse 24 and verse 25. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The Savior had to pay the cost in fulfilling his messianic mission. And so those who are following him, those who would be his disciples, they likewise must be prepared to deny self and to take up the cross and to follow Christ. What makes a missionary? I think the first characteristic of any missionary is the same as the Savior. It's the same as for all disciples. They have to deny self. They have to take up their cross. And they have to follow Christ. Cross-bearing and cost-paying, they're not things that come easily to us. The flesh reneges against such things and rebels against such things. We want things cheaply. We want others to pay the price. We'll pay for them and they can go. We want somebody else to be the missionary in West Africa or East Africa or in Asia or wherever. We want somebody else to be there, but we'll stay at home. But Jesus said those who profess to follow him, they had to deny self, take up the cross, and follow him. And I want to ask you the question tonight, not just all the young people that are here, I want to ask the older people, are you willing to pay the cost? Because a cost there will have to be paid. Are you willing to give up your ambitions, to set them aside, and to go at Christ's command, and to be involved in the calling out and the gathering in and the perfecting of the saints for glory as the church? Maybe this will mean a change of direction for some of you here tonight. Maybe he's calling you as he called these disciples, to leave their occupations. Maybe he's calling you to leave your occupation. And he's saying to you, I have a calling for you. A calling for you, maybe in Liberia, to assist in that school. I have a calling for you, but in order for you to obey the call of God, you have to deny self. You have to take up the cross. You have to be prepared from this night forth just to follow me. If you change direction, you might have to change location. A change of location. I always think in my own life, why did the Lord ask me to go to so many different places at different times in my life? Because I was the greatest homebird of you could ever imagine somebody who liked home more than me. I think that would be hard to find. But I just loved home and all that went with home. But there was a day in my own experience when God called me to change direction. And because I had to change direction, I knew one day I would have to change location. One of the first missionary books I think I read as a young Christian was that of Jim Elliot. One of those five young men who were killed in attempting to evangelize unreached tribes in Ecuador. On the flyleaf of his Bible, he wrote that great missionary statement that has challenged generations ever since. He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Do you know what the early church feared more than martyrdom? They feared apostasy from the truth. They weren't afraid of martyrdom. There's a cost to be paid. When Reverend Park and I were at Bible College all those years ago in the Whitfield Choir, I remember one year at the Easter Convention, we sang Noel Grant's great hymn. And it really, if it never spoke to nobody else in the meeting, it spoke to me. One of the verses goes like this: "The price is high, severe the test, for those who would enjoy God's best. Surrender all, then take the road with those who will go through with God." And if you want to go through with God, your vows to pay, your life has to be put on the altar. And anything you put on the altar, there's a cost in it. But there's also a reward in it. We haven't time to go through it all, but Jesus finished this whole section here by speaking of the rewards that those who serve him will receive when he comes back. Verse 27. The cost. I want you to notice, thirdly, with me, the conflict against the church. This is a satanic conflict. This, as a church, we're involved in a great battle. This ancient conflict, it can be traced right back to the gate of the Garden of Eden at the beginning of time, just after the fall of our first parents and Adam and Eve. And remember afterwards how God addressed himself to Adam and Eve and to Satan in the form of the serpent. And in Genesis 3:15, we have that first promise of the gospel: "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." God told Satan there would be enmity between his seed and that of the woman. And the woman's seed was the messianic line. The seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the Messiah, but the seed of the woman was going to break the head of the serpent. And what a battle has waged ever since. It's been a continuous battle. More than anything else, the devil hates the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates that which God uses to call out, to gather in, to sanctify and perfect that body that's going to serve Christ for all of eternity. Satan can never rob the church of her glory, but he certainly stirs up opposition of the foulest kind against her witness. This is a battle. The forces of darkness, those satanic powers of the very lowest depths of hell, they're mustered against the work of God. And that is why there are so many, even lonely missionaries on the mission field, and they're fighting an isolated battle in areas that you and I could not survive in, because they're fighting with the very forces of darkness itself. And they're isolated. And they're alone. And you and I, who have the privilege to meet in prayer meetings and seek the Lord from the comfort of our own homes, you and I are mandated to pray for them, those who are in the battle. He has many ways to oppose the Church of Christ. One of the greatest weapons he uses here in the West is indifference. But in other parts of the world, it's false religion. He has a satanic counterfeit that can conjure up a different way of salvation. He can stir up governments. He can use those that are in authority to persecute the Church of Christ. He can stir up evil men, to take life and kill Christians. I was reflecting on just a short time ago, a couple of years ago in Kenya, that bus that came down from northeast Kenya, and those militant Islamic terrorists from Somalia stopped the bus. They simply said, all of the Christians go to one side of the bus, all of the Muslims go to the other side of the bus. They put the Christians on the ground and they put a bullet in every one of them in the back of their head. Do you not think those people could have said, oh, I'm a Muslim tonight? But they didn't. That's how Satan stirs up the malice of evil men against the church and the people of God. And this is happening all over the world. We thought of Afghanistan just a few months ago. And those little fledgling groups of Christians, they're no more. What a battle. This attack, it comes not only from without, it can come from within. We don't need to go into all of the details here, but remember, Peter, the Lord started to tell them about his crucifixion at Jerusalem, and Peter thought, no, Lord, this is not for you. And the Lord knew that this was the hand of Satan behind the voice of Peter. And that's one of the most tragic rebukes any Christian will ever get, because the Lord looked beyond Peter and he said in verse 23, get thee behind me, Satan. Satan can put words into the mouths, even of Christians. Peter had fallen prey to the temptation. And the rebuke that he received, it reminds us all tonight that the attack, it just doesn't come from without. It can come from within. And there is not a Christian here tonight that is exempt from that attack. And Satan will try and sift us in order to harm our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad to say that this is a conflict that Satan has to lose. Jesus said that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the onward march of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a battle going on here, because this word prevail tells us there's a battle, there's a contest here. Satan does not give up easily. Souls are not easily won to Christ. Bonner's hymn, I think, sums it up lovely. Those souls are not easily won. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world laboring for Christ, the devil will hold on to his own. He's not going to let go of them. But he can't win. Because those whom God has called, they will be gathered in. They will be brought through. And they will be safely garnered in on that great and final day. I think this truth should encourage our weak hearts. Romans 14:11 reminds me there's a day coming, as I live, saith the Lord, that every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. That's the day of triumph. It's hastening on. The victory's already been won. One day the battle is going to be finished. Here's the promise. I will build it. I will complete it. You know, the Lord never started something that he wasn't going to complete. I think that's a great truth. Whatever the Lord starts, he takes right to completion. And here's the building of this body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only will he start it, not only will he continue it, but he'll finish it. He's going to finish it. The church will conquer, because to her has been given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Again, these words in verse 19 have been perverted and been a means of controversy over the years, and the Pope wears those set of keys from his belt down his sides, and this is meant to symbolize that the keys were given to Peter. But this is a reference to something more. This is a reference to the gospel. This is a reference to the ministry of God's word. Because, brethren and sisters, it's the gospel that is the key that unlocks the door of the human heart. And when that gospel is preached and made effectual by the power of the Spirit of God, even the most stoutest door that's been closed for years, it has to open. He's given us the key. But you know, keys have to be carried. And who will carry the key to the home front? How many doors, how many hearts' doors are locked in Ballymoney? How many hearts' doors are locked in my own part of the world, in Mourne, in South Down? There are absolutely thousands. But we've got a key. And blessed by the Spirit of God, the gospel is the key that will open the door of the sinner, and bring the Saviour in. God uses those who carry the keys. I'm glad our two sisters are here tonight. Whether they realize or not, they're key carriers. Whatever you lose, don't lose your key, the gospel key. Whatever you lose, don't lose the gospel key. Because once we as a church lose the gospel key, we have lost our way in the battle. The battle is finished for us. When we send our missionaries abroad, really, that's what we're doing as a mission board. We're sending men and women abroad who carry keys. The key of the gospel. And it's the gospel that unlocks the door of the heart and brings the call, that effectual call of the gospel to sinners, that will see them called, gathered out, and brought in and perfected in those local churches that in the will of God will be started, that have been started, and that have been nurtured and have been taken forward. I was so pleased at our last mission board meeting to hear of another little congregation that had been established in the foothills of the Himalayas. God's building his church, brethren and sisters. And as an amazing truth, he's asked you and me to carry the key for him into the world. May the Lord bless you tonight. I'll hand back to Reverend Park.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Our hearts have been warm tonight. Even though the building is a little bit cooler than normal, we apologize for that. The heat went off earlier this week. I should have said that earlier. It's underfloor heating. It takes a while to get it built up. It's been on since Wednesday, but at least our hearts have been warm tonight. It's not the temperatures of Liberia or Nepal or Uganda. We saw those men landing at Entebbe. They were in their short sleeves, and I had my T-shirt on, my shirt, and my jumper, and I was going outside in my coat too. But the Word of God has been good, and we trust that it's been a challenge to you. We're looking for key carriers tonight. Will you carry the key of the gospel, to a needy world? May the Lord speak, even as we come to our closing hymn. It's 532. Above thine own ambitions here, another voice is sounding clear. It's the call of God to thee. O leave thy all and follow me. has been speaking about the price tonight, the surrender, and there is surrender involved, taking up your cross, and we pray that God will give you grace to do that. I don't need to tell you of God speaking to you. You will know that in your heart, and may there be that ready response. May you say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me, use me, fill me every day to do what you require me to do." And if the Lord's challenging you tonight, we pray that you will respond to that very positively. Brother Harris is here. We're here to talk to anyone that needs help. But we just encourage you, young people, older people, go through with God. Carry the keys of the gospel. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the worthy name of the Saviour, we thank you for this first night of the missionary weekend, the reports that we've listened to, the link up with Uganda, and your precious word. And it is precious. The Lord is still speaking. He's still calling. He's still moving in our hearts. And we covet these young people for thee. We pray for missionaries among them. We pray for ministers. We pray for workers in the local church. We just pray very simply, as we've heard tonight, men and women and young people to carry the keys of the gospel. Praise thee that the gospel unlocks the heart. We want to see men brought to Christ. And so burden us, and may we leave with a vision for the Lord at this weekend. Dismiss us now in your fear, in your love. Take us to our homes in safety. And bless on the Sabbath day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You'll be asked to leave in the usual fashion, row by row. We'll go to the door. We'll stand at a distance just to greet you on the way out.